Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, brought to you in part, as always, by part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team. Every day for all of your podcast needs, we cover NCAA, NFL, MLB, all your teams are surely out there. There's more that I didn't list, but we always know what you came here for the Locked On Eagles podcast. And thank you, as always, I am your host, Gino Camilleri, and thank you for joining me on this wonderful Friday. Feeling good. It was a long, long week at work, but today we're happy right now. This is our happy time. We're talking Philadelphia Eagles shop. Just me today. I'm going to be bringing you guys a new show that I want to get going. I want to interact more with you guys, and I think this will be a way to do so. And we're going to call this one the Fast Five Friday. So what we're going to do every Friday, hopefully, maybe every other. Hopefully we get Lou on board with this. I'm sure he's more than game, but I'd like to get feedback from our listeners. If you want to drop a message in the Lockdown at Lockdown Birds Twitter account, at Gino _ E Twitter account, at DBACLOE Twitter account as well. We will be taking questions all week long, filtering out some and getting wrapped up in the Fast Five, and there's plenty going on all off season long. We're starting to get into it in the OTAs. We're starting to see news come out all along the board, all throughout the NFL. Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach, unfortunately tore his ACL, so it looks like they're starting in rough shape on the IR this year. But what we're focused on today, folks, is the Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll run through two questions that I've posed and two questions I'm going to answer to myself in the first segment. I'll do that in the second segment, and then in our last segment, I'll finish up with one question that's pondering the Eagles right now. What's going on with them? They're in a good state. They're health-wise, they're doing okay. A lot of guys are going to come back healthy. You see Carson Wentz right now is back in OTA, something he did not get to experience last year, but it's great. But we're also missing some names. Alshon isn't in practice. Malcolm Jenkins isn't there. There's a lot of questions regarding Joe Douglas. So that's exactly what we are going to get into on this episode. The first segment, the first edition, rather, of Fast Five Fridays. So getting right into it with question number one. I saw a tweet on my drive home from work. I was not driving. I was at a red light, so I don't text and drive. I don't condone it. It's irresponsible. But a responsible thing is what the Eagles are going to do at cornerback this year, because it was irresponsible to toss Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby out there every single week until either of them got hurt, because frankly, they just were not getting the job done. I think many of us Eagles fans think back to that Tampa game, and it really just solidified in our brains that, man, Jalen Mills doesn't have it. He doesn't have the long speed to get it done against some of those burner receivers. And that's who the teams were getting him lined up against. You saw Tampa exploited them immediately. They get DeSean Jackson out there matched up against him. Is he a good corner? I still think he is a starter in the NFL. I still think he can contribute big minutes. He played every single snap 2 years ago, basically. Won a Super Bowl last year until he got hurt. He was the guy. I still think there's a place in this league for a guy of his swagger. I just think that now is the time to open things up to competition. We're sitting here right now with a gamut, a whole ton of talent at the cornerback position. And this offseason, we don't have the guys. Last offseason, we knew Ronald Darby, Jalen Mills. They won the Super Bowl. It was their job to lose, and frankly, nobody took it from them. Sidney Jones couldn't step up after his injury. Rasul Douglas was out of favor with Jim Schwartz for whatever reason. They were bringing in street free agents like Dexter McDougal that were playing over him. God knows why that happened. Avante Maddox starts to break out late into the season. But now, we are sitting here on May 31st, 2019, and I can tell you with absolutely zero confidence that I have no idea who's going to be starting at cornerback for the Eagles this year. Right now, you're looking at it. Jalen Mills, by all reports, the last report we heard was probably around mid-March that he was still in a walking boot. I do not know if that has changed. I haven't seen any reports of him being around the NovaCare complex for OTAs, but right now, it's not looking like he is a sure thing even to be ready for training camp. So right now, there's a bunch of positions up for grabs on this defense. I mean, right now, there was talk today at practice that they had Darby in the slot. So if you think that Darby could play in the slot, who do you think can play outside? If you think Darby's going to be your outside guy, who do you think can play in the slot? And the way I look at this cornerback group, and Lou and I are going to get into it more next week. We're going to have a cornerback war, so I'll just keep this brief, is that I think everybody in that secondary group can play multiple cornerback positions. I think everybody has the ability to play inside and outside. But skill set wise, I think right now, your outside corners, if you're looking at it, you have to have Rasul Douglas in that pool. You have to have Sidney Jones in that pool. You have to have Ronald Darby in that pool. And you have to have Avante Maddox in that pool. Of that pool of players, the versatility moving into the slot, I only think eliminates one of them. I think Rasul Douglas is strictly an outside corner based on his skill set. We've seen what they did last season to open up the season with Sidney Jones in the slot. I really liked what they got out of him. I think Rasul Douglas... Ronald Darby. There's a lot of R's on this secondary. But I think Ronald Darby has the quick twitch ability, that those loose hips, the quick hands, the quick feet that you want in a slot corner. He's better matched up against those smaller corners because he's not the best tackler, when Avante Maddox and Sidney Jones are way more surefire tacklers than a Ronald Darby. Maybe slot corner would be the position for him. And then Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox. Avante proved it last season that he could play outside corner. He did it in the playoffs, and they didn't even throw Rasul's way a lot of the game. But when they threw Avante's way, he was there making plays. And for a first-year corner matched up against one of the better wide receivers in the NFL in Michael Thomas, he held his own. The stats are going to skew it, of course, but he held his own for the most part. They were shoving the ball down Michael Thomas's throat, and eventually he's going to beat him. He's a great player, but I think Avante Maddox's versatility opens him up to be almost like a utility infielder. I don't think this team is set up, or they're set on Andrew Sendejo being that third safety. They wouldn't have put Avante Maddox back at safety if they didn't think he had the skill set. Us Eagles fans think Rasul Douglas should have been playing safety for a while. We thought Jalen Mills should have been playing safety for a while, but we hadn't seen it. So frankly, Jim Schwartz probably did not see that skill set transferring over to safety, but Avante Maddox's does. So now, right now, you have a pool of four outside corners. You have another inside corner in Cravon LeBlanc, who I think has to stay there. The only reason he came out and had a great season the last couple years is because of his move to the slot. You saw that in a guy like Patrick Robinson. Maybe the slot sometimes is the best move, and Cravon came out and showed why. He was, as my boy Liam Jenkins would say, he's Captain Cravon, and he came out there and had one of the biggest plays in Eagles history to open up the playoffs, that one-handed interception. That was absolutely remarkable. But the great thing about this is that you have guys, you have outside corners, you have versatile inside and outside corners, you have guys that are strictly slot corners, you have guys that could play safety and corner. This is a luxury now, and we talk about the Eagles having many positions of luxuries. It is, frankly, and now you're going to have the best three guys go out there and win a job because you have five guys that are capable of starting that are all healthy, and a sixth that is just waiting in the wings, a Super Bowl-winning cornerback who has proven that he could play in the NFL and play against some of the best corners in the league. Long speed is in question, but Jalen Mills has proven it. I think Sidney Jones is still a question mark. He is my guy, though. I think he has the skill set to completely get it done. But when it's all said and done, I'll give my final prediction right now. This could change next week when Lou and I have our corner wars, and could change on injury news, etc. But I think when they come out the first weekend against... who are they playing week one? Why can't I remember that? But we'll get there. I schedule's drawn a blank in my head. But when they come out week one, I absolutely think that on the outside, Rasul Douglas is going to man one of those spots. He deserves it. I think this is his time. I think he's developed strongly enough. I think that playoff game was enough to solidify him at that position. Adam Kaplan talked in his latest podcast about wanting to try somebody new at outside corner, that what he's been hearing. And I think Rasul Douglas maybe be that guy. I think in the slot is going to be Sidney Jones. I think he can get it done. I think he can solidify that position, and I think Ronald Darby takes that third outside corner spot. I still think they want to move Avante around the formation more. He'll be part of a lot of their sub-packages, and just because I say these guys are going to start doesn't mean that the others aren't going to get on the field. The amount that this team plays in sub-packages absolutely opens up the door for the Eagles to get their best players on the field at any given time, and I frankly think they will do so. So My three, I say Douglas on the outside, Darby on the outside. We got D&D, much like Game of Thrones. Shout out D&D. And then Sidney Jones on the inside. I hope Sidney has a huge season. I truly think he can get it done. I truly think the corners they have are an improvement over last year, and they're much improved over two seasons ago. And as long as we don't have to see guys like Chandon Sullivan or Dexter McDougal taking snaps at corner, I think it'll be an improved season for the Philadelphia Eagles team. So question number two of the Fast Five Fridays. That one was a little long-winded, so we'll keep these next couple a little shorter, but do I think Malcolm Jenkins, our second favorite safety in Eagles history, Malcolm Jenkins, gets signed this offseason. He has not been at voluntary OTAs. There's talk that he may not even be at mandatory OTAs. And I'm not a big proponent of sitting out. I'm an accounting master's degree. My whole idea of the time value of money, I've studied that time and time again. Like, a dollar now is way better than a dollar later. Malcolm Jenkins needs to get his money now, and he 100% deserves to do so. He's on the latter part of his career. He's absolutely proved that he's one of the top five safeties in the league at any given time, in my opinion. And to think otherwise is just crazy. How he did not get the honors last season that he should have are just beyond me. In my eyes, Malcolm Jenkins is a guy you don't want to leave this building. We saw what happened the last time we let a franchise caliber safety leave the building in Brian Dawkins. We can't let history repeat itself. I truly think that he is going to get a restructured contract. Right now, he's sitting average salary-wise below guys like LaMarcus Joyner, Adrian Amos, Devin McCourty, Harrison Smith. I think he's right there, if not much. A touch better than all of them. He's sitting right around guys like Tony Jefferson and Micah Hyde. Malcolm Jenkins deserves to be paid like a top five safety. You saw what those safeties got this offseason, and so did Malcolm Jenkins. He saw what his rival in Landon Collins got at $14 million per over 6 years. Rashad Jones, five seasons, $12 million per. Earl Thomas, 13.75. He deserves to get anywhere between $11 and $12.5 million, in my opinion, and I totally think that's doable. Did I think this could have been avoided if they would have drafted a young safety and kind of taken leverage away from Malcolm Jenkins? I do. But now you're sitting there, you're like Malcolm Jenkins. You're the most leverage-heavy guy in that building. You're going to go into that office and say, Howie, who's going to play safety besides me? You're going to rely on Andrew Sendejo? You're going to rely on Trey Sullivan. Rodney McLeod has an injury history. I've been on the field for every single snap the last two seasons. Pay me my money. And he deserves it. I think, without a doubt, he should be paid like a top five safety. I think he gets a deal done before training camp. Ideally, they have enough cap to pay him. They have 21-some-odd million. I still think the talk of Carson's extension is going to leave a little haze around that until that clears up a little bit. But when it's all said and done, don't be worried. I really think Malcolm Jenkins is going to be signed back on this team for probably four more years, I would say. Get him till he's like 34, 35. That's a prime area for safeties. You have to keep him in the building. We can't let history repeat itself like we did with Brian Dawkins. So, Howie Roseman, go out there, get your man, sign Malcolm Jenkins, get him back in the midnight green. He deserves to be there, deserves to be there out with his friends. He's texting all the guys now, like they said. Get him out there. He needs to be on the field practicing. He misses the guys. I miss seeing Malcolm Jenkins' name. Miss seeing him make plays in OTAs. He really needs to be out there. So when we come back, we will get back into our second two questions of Fast Five Fridays. But before we do so, we just got to give a shout out to Hotels.com. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded. Basically everywhere with Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. Great site, I use it all the time, so does Lou. But come on back, and we will get back to this right after this break. Welcome on in, everybody, to the second segment of this May 31st edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Once again, I am your host, Gino Camilleri. As many of you know, for our new listeners, thank you for checking us out. Thank you for listening on Apple, Spotify, Himalayan, wherever you get your podcast. It is greatly appreciated. But getting back into it, we are going to go with question number three in our Fast Five Fridays, a question that has been looming over this Eagles team for the past two off seasons and ever since they brought this gentleman into the building. When and where will Joe Douglas become the general manager? Now, don't get me wrong. Losing Joe Douglas is going to hurt. It's not going to be great. It's tough to bring in a guy in there that has had such a good relationship with Howie, coming off such a rough relationship with Chip Kelly. It was good to have substance there, good to have somebody with solidarity that fit the same ideologies with everybody that was in the building, fit the ideologies of Howie Roseman, and Joe Douglas was that guy. He had the proven track record from his career drafting with the Bears, with the Ravens, has helped escalate this scouting department exponentially over what it was the past couple seasons, and he has helped bring in some great names into Philadelphia. There's talk from Mike Lombardi that Joe isn't enthralled with the idea of a more analytical approach that this Eagles organization is taking. Jeffrey Lurie seems to be a huge proponent in that. He was in an interview with Shiel Kapadi and kind of threw shade at the idea of running the ball more, and he kind of just said, when there's evidence there to back it up, why do you have to do something if you're just doing it to shut people up, basically, is kind of how he said it in a nice way. Can't remember the exact quote, but Shiel Kapadi of The Athletic getting that one. And it's a great point because the Eagles are one step ahead of many teams in the NFL. I won't say all because the Patriots are many, many steps ahead of every other team in the NFL. But the Eagles, they have done great things to become one of the teams that isn't reactive to the NFL, but proactive. They're setting trends. They're setting this trend of bringing in a young quarterback, giving him weapons, getting a good defense, bringing in all these offensive minds to sculpt your young quarterback, bringing in very great scouting guys into your scouting department. And Joe Douglas was one of those additions. He absolutely deserves to be a general manager in this league. I said a couple weeks ago that he's much better than I can name five off the top of my head, and I could probably name 10 to 15 if you gave me the list of all the GMs in the NFL. It's going to hurt Howie. It's going to hurt the Eagles team, but you can't look at it in a bad way because of all the positive that he has brought to this organization. He has changed the way that Howie Roseman looks at the draft, and you've seen that over the last couple years. I did a breakdown of the two positions, or all the positions that they draft and the frequency of when they draft them, and the two positions that they drafted 11th and 12th, meaning latest in the draft, were running back and offensive tackle. And what do? This year, they draft offensive tackle one, and then they go out and draft a running back. So Joe Douglas has opened their eyes to changing philosophies, and I think that's great, and I think what Howie got out of it, what has added to his scouting resume from Joe being there, is huge. But if Joe's not on board with this analytical approach, I don't want to see any miscommunication between front offices, because you've seen how much that can deter a team and how much it can destroy teams. And I think if Joe wants to move on, he absolutely deserves to do so. Do I think the Jets is the best landing spot for him? With Adam Gase there, no. That man is a wild card. There was talk that he wanted to trade Le'Veon Bell after they signed him to this lucrative contract. It's not the greatest situation, but Joe, he deserves it. He deserves to go in there and take a franchise by the cojones and make it his own, much like Howie Roseman has done. And all in all, I think Joe ends up getting this Jets GM job. I think he probably gets it before the end of June. They would probably try to get him in there before training camp to get more talent in the room. So when it's all said and done, I do think Joe Douglas is gone from the Eagles. He served probably 1.5 more seasons than I thought he would be here, and many in the Eagles organization did as well. They knew his scouting mind. They knew the brain that he had and the skill set he was carrying around. And much like the players, you have to be able to have good minds in the building that can get the most out of these players. And Joe Douglas was one of those guys. So it's going to be tough to see him go, but ultimately I do think he leaves. So question number four on this Fast Five Fridays. Can Carson Wentz, that is, my dog Carson just licked me on the hand as I said that, win the MVP this season? No, it's not 2017 anymore. It's not his injury-riddled 2018 season. It is 2019. A complete new set of circumstances. But if you look back at Carson Wentz, who, for quarterbacks, you would hope that they have an exponential, not a regression, but a progression. And Carson Wentz has shown that. He's improved in completion percentage over the last year from 60.2 to 69.6. Yardage-wise, he was down, but he was only less than 200 yards away from matching his 2017 numbers in two less games. Touchdowns. He had 21 touchdowns as opposed to 33 touchdowns. Yes, he took a hit with his weapons last season. There were many injuries, not just him. Now in 2019, you bring in DeSean Jackson. You have an improved Dallas Goedert. You have an improved Nelson Agholor. You have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. You have one of the better offensive lines in the league. You have a Miles Sanders. You have a Jordan Howard. You have weapons for Carson Wentz. And to think he can't put up over 4,000 yards, 35-plus touchdowns, single-digit to 12 to 13 interceptions, I don't see how that's out of the realm of possibility. I think if this Eagles team continues to mold the playbook behind the plays that suit Carson the best, running out of 12 personnel, getting two tight ends on the field, having a deep threat in DeSean Jackson that runs Carson's greatest routes the best, are all things that can push him into the position of being an MVP. Lewis Riddick, who was spot on his last two MVP picks in Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff, like I mentioned last episode, picked Carson Wentz to be the 2019 MVP. Am I going to get ahead of myself and say that Tom Brady won't have another good year? Jared Goff still has a very high potent offense. Drew Brees is on his last hurrah. Ben Roethlisberger is always a wild card. Andrew Luck is in a rejuvenated Colts team with a brand new arm. There's going to be competition all around the board. But I think that Carson, without a doubt, if he plays to the potential, the ability, and the reliability of being on the field for 16 games, I 100% believe he will be in the top three for MVP voting at the end of the season. And I 100% believe that he can win MVP. Because if he gets back to his 2017 health with an improved offensive roster and an improved defensive roster, Carson Wentz should be the NFL MVP. And I agree with our good friend Lewis Riddick that Carson Wentz will be the 2019 MVP. Hope I don't jinx it. I'm pretty big of a mush, so hopefully I don't speak that out of existence. But when we come back, we will finish up this Fast Five Friday with our last and our fifth and final question of the day. But before we do so, just have to talk about our good friends over at Himalaya Podcasts. Free podcast network. I don't know how you can beat free. Anytime I see free, I am there. Super easy to use. It has every single podcast you love and are searching for. If you're on Apple, if you're on Spotify, those podcasts are there. The Locked On Eagles podcast is there. Go on Himalayan Podcast Network. They're just as good. If you don't have access to Apple, this is the one you got to go to. They are great friends of ours. They've been helping us out here at the Locked On Podcast Network for some time, and we really appreciate the partnership that we have grown with them. Welcome on back, everybody, to the final segment of this Fast Five Friday. A little pep in my step, a little boost in my voice here. I'm getting excited, going to head out of town for a weekend, going to go to a lake. Finally, some beautiful weather here in Western New York. I know for the rest of the U.S., you guys are lucky. Philly, you got some great weather. Hopefully, I get down there, move down there soon enough. It is my dream to get down there. I know it's Lou's dream to get down there. But to finish things up on this Fast Five Friday with question number five. Question number Donovan McNabb, who has come up recently in talks for bad reasons. But question number five is, what is the plan at right guard? Something that's gone under the radar, not talked about too much, is the fact that Brandon Brooks tore his Achilles. One of the best offensive linemen in the league. Let's not get that wrong. Arguably the best right guard in the league. Arguably a top five guard in the league. Losing him for any period of time is going to hurt. Let's get that straight. But this Eagles team is more than capable of filling in his role for, let's say, 5 weeks. I think, ideally, you don't want to move around the current offensive line that you have in place. I think keeping Isaac at left guard is pivotal. I remember back to 2015, the last season of Sam Bradford, when Lane Johnson had to take the role of left tackle and replace Jason Peters. And this idea that they wanted to move Lane to left tackle, and now you have to move another player to right tackle. So now you have two positions that you're changing. They kind of moved away from that and went towards working with just moving one position, and I think that is the route to go this time around. I don't think moving Isaac to right guard and then bringing in Stefan Wisniewski or Matt Pryor to play left guard would be the move. Sayamalu played well enough, in my opinion, down the stretch. Is he replaceable? Yes. Is his contract replaceable? No. I think he has a very team-friendly contract, but right now, he's the best option you have at left guard. I totally think he has enough to continue to be the starter there until somebody dethrones him at that position. And I think you let Matt Pryor and Stefan Wisniewski battle out that right guard spot. Stefan Wisniewski, how we got him back in this building with the offensive line depth being so dismal around the NFL is beyond me. The guy has started plenty of games at multiple positions, is a Super Bowl champion, and he came back to the Eagles on a one-year deal. And frankly, that is huge in my opinion. I think that is one of the more underrated signings that they have brought in this talent acquisition period. I think having him there to compete with Matt Pryor, a player that they love at right guard, even with Jordan Mailata, somebody that they said they will cross-train at guard, and with Big V, somebody who they said they will cross-train at guard as well, will be huge. And much like those positions that I say, defensive end 4, cornerback, safety 3, that somebody needs to come out and win that position, this training camp is that. And the good thing about it is it's not for your starter for the entire season. The light at the end of the tunnel is you're going to get an all-pro right guard back after this is over. So whatever you need to do for that period of time that Brandon Brooks is out, make sure you make the right decision. But the right decision isn't just tossing a body in there for tossing a body in there, much like they had to do with Dorial Green-Beckham in the wide receiver room a couple years ago. They have guys that have played in the NFL, guys that are Super Bowl champions, young up-and-coming players, highly regarded players in their building, athletic freaks in Jordan Mailata, Super Bowl champion Big V that they're moving over to guard. They have more than enough options to have a steady, healthy competition at right guard to replace Brandon Brooks for however many weeks it needs to be. So, the plan at offensive guard, keep the offensive line the same, move one position around, that being Brandon Brooks, and find the best player that proves it in the preseason to be your starter for however X amount of weeks it takes. So that'll do it on this fabulous Fast Five Friday. Thank you everybody for tuning in to our first edition of this Fast Five Friday. It was my pleasure to take you along this ride. Hopefully you guys are gonna have a good weekend. Have some fun. Don't let life hit you too hard. As always, I'm Gino Camilleri. Thank you for listening. Check us out on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at Gino_LOE, at DiBiase_LOE. Hit us up with your questions, anything. Leave us reviews, whatever you want to do. Give us some feedback. It's always great talking to you guys. It's always great hearing you listen. So thank you as always, and fly, Eagles, fly.